we have certain things that we tend to get hung up on, favorite verses and chapters that we love to talk about, and others that we don't talk about so much because maybe they're confusing for us or problematic for our theology. So I want to, like I said, I was not aware that I was preaching today, but I knew that I was going to be preaching eventually coming up. I didn't know today was the day until today. So I have been working on a sermon series, so this is not completely just made up today. I have been working on a sermon series, and this is going to be the first one of 10 parts. Now, I don't preach every week, so it might take us most of the next year to get through this 10-part series, but my next 10 sermons starting today are all going to be part of a series called I Believe, ... And it's not, what does your church believe, or what do y'all believe? It's, I believe. And I've written this in a way that it's not just what Brian Frelick believes, but it can be something that you can adopt and say, when somebody asks you, well, what does your church teach or believe? You can say, well, I don't know about that, but what I believe is. So I want to take a few minutes to explain why I'm doing this sermon series. Over the last several years, really, and specifically, it seems like it's intensifying over the last few months, weeks, online especially, and maybe it's because I have been off of work and sitting around a lot and been on my phone and social media, but it seems like there's a lot of arguing in Christianity as a whole, in the big picture Christianity. People, maybe it's just the nature of social media, they can get on there and say anything they want and there's really no consequence. You know, if you were to go to an actual church and Bible study group and you spout off some of this stuff, you know, things would go differently than if you say that on social media. So, but on social media, if you don't like what somebody says, you can just delete them. You can just unfriend them, right? You don't have to face them. And people that used to be friends, they just unfriend each other. People that seem like, well, this person's a godly influencer and this person's a godly influencer, but then they're like talking bad about each other. This isn't good, in my opinion. So there's a lot of noise, a lot of opinions, a lot of arguments, and I think far too often the conversations don't bring people closer to Jesus. They just cause division, separation. And they cause people to be frustrated, discouraged, like, I don't want to be a part of that group anymore. There was a group, a Facebook group that I was a part of that was called Biblical Creationism or something. And I'm like, okay, this would be good to be a part of. But all it is people go on there and talk about how, well, science proves that the Bible isn't really real. And this, you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is like creationism bashers. You know, it's a whole group of. So I got out of that group. It's not uplifting to be a part of that. So I began thinking about, some time ago, a simple question. What do all Christians agree on, or what should they agree on? You know? Because this denomination might believe this little detail differently, and the Lutherans might believe this, and the Methodists might believe this, and some say only this version of the Bible is good, and some say, no, we don't use that one because it's too hard to understand. Whatever. So, what could we all agree on? Sometimes I watch a preacher online called, his name's Mark Gunger, and he preaches at a church in Green Bay area called Celebration Church. And I really like a lot of his sermons, but some of the stuff I don't agree with. But I really like a lot of the things that they do at that church. Their songs are good. He's entertaining. He does a series of marriage seminars called Laughing Your Way to a Better Marriage or something like that. Mark Gunger. But every time they do a church service at Celebration Church, they have everyone in unison recite the Apostles' Creed. And it's something like this statement of faith that you see here, but it's a little different. And there's a few things in there that's like, I'd be okay with that, except for I wish it said this instead. So, and I was thinking about, there's a homeschool group. Our kids, our four kids are homeschooled, if you didn't know. There's a co-op group that several of their friends are a part of, and thought, well, maybe we should join that group. And if you look online, there's an application to join the group, and there's a statement of faith on there that you have to agree to all these points in order to be a part of this group. Well, there's a couple on there that I feel like are just not biblically based. They're commonly preached concepts, but you just are going to have a hard time finding those things in the Bible. So I thought, you know what, I would like to create my own kind of statement of faith, a simple statement of faith that's 10 points, because you got 10 fingers. So if you got 10 things, I think that's why God gave us the 10 commandments, is because we got 10 fingers, so you can remember 10 things easier than you could remember, say, 13 or 145, you know. So I believe, that's the series, and today we're going to focus on just the first point. So each of these 10 statements here are a simple statement of faith that I think walks any person through the essentials of being a Christian. And I think that I've tried really hard to write it in such a way that any denomination, anybody that says they're a Christian, no matter whether you're Catholic, you're Lutheran, you're Methodist, whatever, you can look at this and you can say, yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's anything that's objectionable in here. Now, many groups might say, I wish that you also added this wording in there, but I'm saying, let's try to find the lowest common denominator. What do we all agree on? And so my next 10 sermons are going to be one each on these 10 points. So today, the first one is, you can go ahead, let's see, next slide. Week one is one God. So you have your statements of faith in front of you. And hopefully you can stick them in your Bible and check out later. Don't just take my opinion for anything. Keep them in your Bibles and look at, do I actually believe this? Yes or no? Do I believe these things? So today, we're going to focus on the first one, which is one God. So the Apostle Peter tells believers in 1 Peter 3:15, it's okay if you don't know exactly where 1 Peter is, because it's hard to find. So I use my table of contents. That's okay. But we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 15 for a second. It says this, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So that's the goal in this, is not to give you a handout so that you can argue and win, but it's to give you a simple outline of, if somebody asks you, well, what do you believe? What does your church believe? Well, I don't know what my church believes, but this is what I believe, these 10 things. So first one is, there's one God. I believe in one God who is the creator of heaven and earth. So you don't have to accept that right now as something you believe, but I'm telling you, this is what I believe. It's the point number one on that statement of faith is, I believe in one God who is the creator of heaven and earth. Now that sentence may sound simple, but it's the foundation, really. It's the foundation for everything else in the whole Bible. If you don't believe in that one God, well then, the Bible is, you're looking at it through a different lens if you don't believe that there is one God. The Israelites, the Jews, they will put, the very traditional Jews will put the Shema, something they call the Shema, on their doorposts. And sometimes you'll see it in a little box on their forehead, or they'll write it on a little scroll and keep it various places. And the Shema is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And in Hebrew, it just simply says this. It's a prayer that they repeat over and over. The first line of the prayer is, Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. And in English, what that means is, listen, Israel, the Lord, our God, is one. So they, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says this. Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes on to tell you what you should do about that. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. So this is why they do that, with the little scrolls, with the little boxes. Very traditional Jews in Israel, you might see, they have the long curls and they have the little box on their head, and what's in that is a little scroll that says this. Hear, O Israel, there's one God. Our God is that God. And I propose to you that the God of Israel from Deuteronomy is our God. He hasn't changed. He doesn't change. So that same God that told the Israelites, make sure you teach this to your children. Make sure you understand that there's only one God. We should still be doing that. Teach it to our children when we sit at home, when we're walking on the road. Put it on your door frame so every time you're leaving, you see this as a reminder, Every time you're coming in and you're hanging your coat, you see, wait a minute, there's one God. This is foundational. And that God is the God that we're to love with all of our hearts. We're not to be having a divided heart that loves something else a little bit, and we have time for God on Sundays and Wednesdays. So as we're going out the door for whatever our activities are, for going to Cottonwood Airport to work on an airplane, or going to football practice, or going to basketball, or going to cheer, whatever we're doing, God wants the reminder right on the door frame. Don't forget me. Love me with your whole heart. So that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 that we read, that says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. This is point one of an answer to that question. Why do you have hope? Be prepared to give an answer. Be prepared to give. You don't have to stand up here and give a sermon. I think those of us that are longtime believers, you should be prepared to give a sermon. I think you should be. All the time. It doesn't have to be well polished, but you should be able to give a, articulate a reason for your hope. Explain it. And so this is point one. There's one God. He created heaven and he created earth. There's nobody equal to him. And for that reason, I talk about this with my children when we sit down, when we get up, when we go out, when we come home. We need to talk about this all the time. And the Bible doesn't really begin with an argument or an explanation. Genesis 1:1, it just begins with the assumption that you already understand who God is. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we don't need a whole bunch of verses before that to explain who God is that we're talking about. God did that. That's it. We just have one word there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the foundation of the whole Bible. So if you don't believe that, then if you don't believe verse 1, then you don't believe really, I don't understand how you could believe any of the rest of the Bible. So that's why I put this as point one in the statement of faith is, I believe there's one God. I believe there's one God, and he created the heavens and the earth. And I think really anyone that's a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, would have to say, I agree with that. It doesn't matter what denomination you're from. We believe there's one God, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, we have different ideas about who that God is exactly and what his properties are, what his attributes are. That's what the rest of the Bible does, is explain more detail about the attributes of God. But let's set those arguments and discussions aside and just agree, yes, we believe there's one God, and that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. So Scripture assumes God's existence because everything else depends on it. If God is not the creator, then life has no ultimate purpose. And truth becomes flexible. If God didn't create you, then you're an accident. You're a cosmic accident, and nothing you do matters. And morality doesn't matter. It's subjective. Why should you keep laws made by mankind if you were just spontaneously evolved from whatever and not created? Then what's the point of keeping any laws? Why don't we just do whatever we want to do? But I anchor this back into that we who believe there's one God. He did create the heavens and the earth, and that's the foundation of everything else. If God didn't create the heavens and the earth, then hope is pretty fragile. There really isn't any hope in a life after this or anything after this. When our kids move out of the house, that's it. You know, they're on their own and they can choose what they want, and if somebody's in a car accident and they're killed, then you know that's it. That was their chance in life. But if God created the heavens and the earth, that is pretty powerful. God's able to speak and make all these things happen. Then he has the power to do anything. Anything we can imagine, and more than we can imagine. And that gives us reason for hope. So the statement of faith does not include many gods. We do not say we believe there are many gods. We don't believe in a sun god and a harvest god and a love god and all these things that Greek mythology and others have given us over the years. We believe in one God. That means evil is not God's equal. In some religious beliefs, especially Greek mythology, there are some gods that are sort of good and some that are sort of not good. You know, they're up to mischief. In our system, in our church, in Christianity, regardless of which denomination you're a part of, God and evil are not equal. There's one God that is powerful. Satan is not God's opposite, equal in power. That would be making Satan like a god. He is not as powerful as God. God is the only one that is all-powerful. And darkness is not winning some type of cosmic tug-of-war game. There's one creator, and he is winning. He has a plan. And you are in it. So, if God is the creator, life has meaning, truth is defined, and we are accountable to somebody. We don't just get to do whatever we want. There is a creator. If you believe that, then you are accountable to that creator. And if we believe that God is a creative God who created people to live, then death and destruction is the enemy of that. That's not the reward. God created people to live on the earth. That was God's plan. So something that doesn't involve people living on earth in God's presence, like in the Garden of Eden, that's not what God's plan was. So did God change his mind? Did he not really know what he was doing the first time around? I don't think so. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. He designed people to live on earth in his presence. People mess that up by their own choice. And the whole Bible explains God's plan to restore that creation that was mentioned in the beginning. So that's why we start here. Creation explains why the world was good, why it is broken now, why redemption is needed, and why resurrection matters. Because we know that nobody gets out of this life alive. I just saw last night on Facebook there was a 104-year-old person that played the saxophone, the national anthem at a hockey game. He's 104 years old. I've known of some people in my job at the coroner's office. I've taken reports of people who have died under natural circumstances on hospice care or whatever, and the oldest one that I know of was 106. But we don't get out of this world alive, so this is why we have to have redemption. We have to have resurrection. Otherwise, we cannot live in a perfect world with God as he designed in the beginning. So I believe that every belief builds on this one belief, that there is one God and he created heaven and earth. And I believe that it is what gives scripture authority, that we know that God created heaven and earth, and this book is inspired by God, is written by God, and tells us about him. So that's what gives it the authority compared to some other fictional book. We believe that this book was written by the creator of heaven and earth. So looking ahead, in closing here, this says one belief each week. It's not going to be every week because I don't preach every week. But each week that I preach is what it really means to say there. Over the next year or so, we're going to get through these 10 points. Today was, I believe that there is one God, the creator of heaven and earth. But each week that I preach, we're going to go through another point. They're going to be scripture-centered, clear, gracious. We're not going to be yelling at anybody or condemning anybody that believes slightly differently, but I'm going to just clearly explain, this is what I believe, hopefully in a way that a child can understand, because Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and anybody that hinders one of these people, one of these little ones, you'd be better off to be drowned in the sea. So we can't make our sermons and our Bible studies so complicated that people can't understand what we're talking about. That's hindering people from coming to know the truth. So I want to direct us, guide us to more clarity, more understandability for children, for adults too. We should be able to look at the lesson and understand what we're talking about. So in closing, there's one God. He created all things, and everything begins with him. I believe this. Check it out for yourself and see if you also believe that. Is there a closing hymn that somebody would like to sing?